This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's a play to play. He is out!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Mets beating the Yankees yet again last night. Three straight for the Mets over the Yankees in the 2024 Subway Series. Obviously, the Yankees have major issues, and it wasn't a clean game from the Mets' perspective, BT. McNeil drove me nuts. I know he hit the big two-run homer, but on the base pass, I mean, my God. Why can't the Mets go first to third on a slow hit to right field? I mean, it's right in front of him. McNeil can't get to third, so he's on second base. And then Tyrone Taylor hits the double, which, okay, you want to say Verdugo should have got it, whatever. He
didn't. I thought he should have had it.
Even so, McNeil's got to be standing near third base or on third base. There's no excuse for not scoring on that ball.
I agree.
And he's standing on third base like an idiot. That I mean, what is going on here?
The only thing he's thinking, and it's the wrong thought.
Yeah, it's going to be caught, and he doesn't want
to. Well, if it's caught, you know, if he goes first, you have to go at least halfway.
Yeah,
that's a given.
I don't need him to tag there.
Yeah, I know. But what he was thinking foolishly was, if I go halfway and then it's caught and I try to retreat to tag, I'm not going to get there in time.
Right, so, he's worried about tagging up to third. No, knucklehead, you should be worried about scoring.
Yeah.
If the guy catches the ball, you go back to the base, suck it up, and then hope for another base hit. But, like, you can't, on a ball that drops in almost hits the wall, you're on second base. You can't not score on that.
No, it's indefensible. It did take a great hop to Aaron Judge, who got it in very quickly there. But, I mean, I would think that you're on second base, even if you do tag, which is the wrong play. I mean, you score every single time.
Yeah. Anyway,
that wasn't, get a better read.
That wasn't the main issue. It just drove me nuts from that last night. But with the Mets, the number one takeaway that I had from that game was how good a manager Carlos Mendoza is. I really feel like, BT, he has the chance to be a special manager because he balances everything very well. The analytics and information, the gut feel, his baseball IQ and acumen and knowledge, being a lifer in the game, his experience that he's had as a manager at the lower levels or as a bench coach with the Yankees. Mendoza, going to the mound in certain spots, just making sure his guys knows what's going on, the game plan going in. We're not pitching to Aaron Judge. Having the guts, and I think it was foolish, but they got away with it, having the guts to have Diekman pitch to Judge in that particular spot, going after him and getting the job done. Like, when you think about it this way, BT, and I would not pitch to Judge, period, but the greatest hitters, right? What's the old saying? Like, the best hitters in baseball, if you fail, if you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
So even the best hitters are going to fail 7 out of 10 times. With that in mind, then statistically, you shouldn't be walking a player every single time. Anyway, Mendoza just overall last night, the way that he's handled this ball club from day one, dealing with the media, dealing with the struggles, dealing with the, you know, the build back up after the 0-5 start, going in the tank again, everything. The Kodai Senga injury and having him come back, everything that he's handled, I think it's been perfect. And in game, I don't think you could ask for anything more. I think Carlos Mendoza has been a terrific manager for the Mets and is a big part of why they're having success this season.
I really like him. It's come up a few times. It's you know, it's a little tougher to quantify like exactly what he does. It's only because we don't know. I mean, is it collaborative? We talk about that with Aaron Boone. I think most teams at this point certainly are. I do think there's certain gut calls and certain instincts, and certainly what he projects is very favorable. You know, and by the way, think about the way he navigated the start of the season.
Right.
He's already proven, like, if you're going to coach here, you've got to be able to handle adversity, something Robert Sala has yet to prove to be able to do, okay? And he did that. Obviously, the 0-5 start, 11 games under 500, and flashback to when the Mets were just hemorrhaging and playing as poor a brand of baseball. They looked like the 62 Mets, really, for about a month or so, or at least a couple of weeks. You couldn't play worse. And Lindor was half asleep.
All right.
Brandon Nimmo was half asleep. They both started incredibly slow. And he was still able to pull them out. And it wasn't even those two guys who necessarily pulled them out of it, which is amazing. And now he's also navigated an off year by one of his best players, Pete Alonso, and injuries to various players on this team, so including his starting catcher. I think he's done a great job. I'm a big fan. It's early, but I'm definitely a big fan.
And it's not just him, too. It's Stearns a little bit as well, but holding guys accountable as well.
Yep.
And not like, you know, dancing around the issue. Well, this guy's struggling. End of story. Like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, we expect him to be better and, you know, he's having good at bats and, yeah, he made the error, but what about the plays before? No, none of that. It's, yeah, he made a mistake or he hasn't been good enough and we need him to be better. Like, that's it. Just being open and honest with the media and holding guys accountable. So, again, is it the main reason? No, but I do think Carlos Mendoza has been a big reason for the Mets' success. And even though it wasn't pretty, that was a big win for them. On the road, in that environment, holding off the Yankees, particularly the top of the order, with not your best closer, the Mets have found ways to win games that they normally would never win. Dave is in the Jersey. Sure, what's up, Dave?
How you doing, guys? Well-oiled machine. Love the show. Even the guys behind the glass. Great job. But
Thank you.
I'm not Aaron Boone. So I'm a Mets fan, by the way. My wife's a Yankee fan, so I watch a lot of Yankees games. And I think, you know, I'm not, no disrespect, but, you know, I'm not Aaron Boone's lawyer, but, you know, you don't see what happens behind the scenes when he makes the lineup. Maybe he has a gut feeling, like you were saying, the gut and intuition. You know, they see a lot of things, like when they're practicing me and they give a guy a shot. If he doesn't come through, he doesn't come through, you know? But anyway, that in the ninth inning, to Judge, it just brought back memories of Beltran against the Cardinals with that pitch that he took.
And, a little bit different stakes here at play.
But you know, the Yankees are the Yankees. The Mets, to me, they were 500 team. They, you know, that this guy,
Alonso.
He's more worried about the home. Yeah, he's more worried about the home run derby than he is about trying to get a swing back. I heard those home run derbies.
Well, I mean, hold on a second. He had a couple of base hits last night. And I understand what you mean. The Yankees are the Yankees, but the Mets are a 500 team. The Mets have been better.
They're doing well, but the Yankees, when Stan comes back.
When
he comes back, they're going to be unbelievable.
Dave. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I can't wait for that. When Stanton comes back. He was supposed to come back out of the All-Star break. What happened?
You know what's funny? You said what I was going to say. When he said the Yankees are the Yankees and the Mets are whatever.
What does that mean?
I was thinking the same thing that you said. No, that applied years ago. When you say the Yankees are the Yankees now, that's not a great thing.
Yeah, right.
It's got more of a negative connotation.
Yeah, I don't understand what he meant by it. The Yankees.
He's
the Yankees.
A homer.
Like what? So they're going to be fine?
He's a homer. Nah, he's the lead. That's some. And listen, he sounds like a great guy. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but
right. He's
one of those Yankee fans who, no matter what's going on around him, he's going to lean on the history and the aura and the tradition. The Yankees, they'll be fine. No, they won't.
Right.
Not if they don't make big trades. They're going nowhere.
Nobody will ever argue with the Yankees' great tradition and history. You cannot. It is facts. They've done it. However, we're living in the now. And if you want to go based off of, I don't know, since 2010, it hasn't been great history because the Yankees haven't been to or won a World Series, obviously, since 2009. So that comment didn't make any sense, especially today after the Mets just beat the Yankees a third straight time and you pick it on Alonso. Nobody's picked on Alonso more than I have, with good reason, by the way. But last night he swung the bat well, had a couple of base hits. He ran the bases well, played some good defense at first base. I had no issues with Alonso's game last night. If you're a Yankee fan today and you're calling worried about Alonso or saying the Yankees are the Yankees, you're missing the mark, bro.
There's things to clean up at the Yankees crib. You know, the Mets crib is nice and tidy right now. The Mets place, the Yankees place is a pigsty.
I always say this, BT, like going relative, I always judge things relative to expectation.
Okay.
So for me, the Yankees have been an abject failure so far because the expectation is so high as were the Mets. And yeah, the record is not, it's not, you can't compare right now. The Yankees have 60 wins. The Mets have what? If Mets have 52 wins, although it's the gap is starting to close.
It's not as sizable as
But anyway,
it was.
It's not. And that's why I would say comfortably right now, the Mets have been the better team. The Mets have been the better team for the better part of 2 months here than the Yankees. Does it mean that they're going to go further? No. Does it mean that they're more talented? No. But they have played the better baseball, and they have been a better team. Oh, and by the way, head-to-head, they've taken three straight from the Yankees. But I always go relative to expectation. The Mets coming in, I had no expectations for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at best case, it was, maybe they'll be a 500 team. Then after the start, it was like, they're not even going to be a 500 team. This is even worse than I thought. So they have now far exceeded the lowest of low expectations to a point where I trust them to be a playoff team. Whereas the Yankees, especially the way that they started, I'm thinking, this team's a machine. They're not going to be stopped. They're going to win the World Series. And now they're far under exceeding or under delivering those expectations.
I don't think you're too off with any of that, except I wouldn't use the term abject failure. Like, to me, if the Yankees were an abject failure right now, they're two or three games over 500 or at 500, and they never gave you that 5 or 6 week flirtation with all-time baseball. Not that it means anything now. It obviously doesn't. But, you know, they're one of a handful of teams with 60 wins. And this team is not good enough to win. Abject failure, I wouldn't say that. But I do think the Mets have certainly overachieved. And I do think that the storylines right now that are being written are vastly different. And there's no guarantee that they change. Like, that's the key part of the conversation. So it's not about, I guess maybe for some people, our last call, or Stanton comes back, everything's going to change. I'm not saying that because I don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. I don't know.
Right.
I just don't know.
Or how long he stays back when he does come back.
Yep.
And when he does come back, how he's going to produce and how long he stays back.
Yeah. I got a question for you. I meant to ask you this before, but we ran out of time. Okay. So we all know in every sport, even like NBA free agency, information's paramount. If you can get something from somebody off the record, and it allows you to construct a more balanced plan as to what you're going to do, it's a huge asset. That's why agents and the communication between people, it's so paramount, and the good franchises have that. Do you think, because I got to revisit this for a second. I said something last hour I think is very important. The Yankees are staring at two totally different worlds. If they trade, and I'm okay with this, Spencer Jones for whomever. I wouldn't trade Dominguez, but just I think everything's on the table.
Right.
If they trade those guys and they bring in their eyes, two big guns that fail and they don't make the World Series and Soto leaves, that's an F.
Right.
That's an all-time F. If they, and then the converse would be Soto stays and the guys they give up don't become stars, Yankees win anyway, whatever. And maybe something in between, but those are the two big options. Do you think that Cashman can speak to Boris, not so much in terms of 500, 600. Hey, Scott, we got a couple of big deals on the table. We want to go for it. We want to win a World Series this year with Juan. But just give us a clue. Does he want to stay? If he wants to stay, we'll give you, the money's going to add up. Because if you can get that, not assurance, because that's too strong, but if you can get that direction from Boris, don't you think that maybe that gives the Yankees the ammunition necessary, or at least the relief to then trade somebody like a Dominguez or Spencer Jones?
I don't know, though, if they're going to go that way. I mean, wouldn't they then be open to negotiating in season? Like, for that's something you got to get buttoned up, and you also can't.
But the Yankees
trust Boris'
are
word.
The Boris camp,
yeah,
obviously.
Well, but that's
not
what I mean. But then you got to get Boris's. You got to go based off of his word. I'd rather have it set in stone, like actually have him sign.
You're not going to have that though.
You can't
so
go
you
based off of
glean
one player
as much
anyway.
Information and deduce as best as you can. What's going
to
happen?
But that's part of my hesitation to even go all in and make those type of moves. I can't rely on Soto, and also, you know, trust the fact that he's going to be able to stay here or want to stay here. I don't know. I think he's going to want to take the most money. I mean, that's why another reason why I'm not trading, to me, I'm not trading Spencer Jones, certainly not Dominguez, for this Yankee team that otherwise looks dead right now. Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for getting me on. When I saw the lineup yesterday, the Yankee lineup.
Because
it just shows team, there's no plan. And the Yankees, you know, the Yankees, it shows me a team without a plan. And then it doubled down when, in the eighth inning, they let LeMahieu get that at bat. It should have been Oswaldo Cabrera. And I say that because if you were changing things up, what better moment than that moment there? DJ's becoming what Josh Donaldson was, another name which is going to run out there because of his name. It just looks different because LeMahieu was a contact guy. Contact guys are just going to make contact. It just becomes soft contact. And Josh Donaldson was swinging for the fences, so those strikeouts look worse. But we need to look like a team with a plan, or we're going to stay exactly how we are. And that's all I have, guys.
I'm confused. Thank you for the call, Chris. I'm confused as to why Oswaldo Cabrera does not get more playing time than, you know, whether it's LeMahieu or even yesterday. And again, he was talking about the lefty nonsense stuff, whatever. You want to get Jones in there. Like, there's no excuse. Cabrera, to me, when you watch him, and I get that he hasn't, you know, he's not a stud, but he has his impact on some of these games. Just his energy alone.
Yeah, he's got a little bounce to him. He's a lively, not that he's an amazing, amazing athlete. He's not going to steal 40 bases, but he's got a little juice to him. DJ LeMahieu looks like he's absolutely cooked, as we've said for a long time. Last night's lineup to me was, this is how I processed last night's lineup, aside from being embarrassing. Last night was directly a byproduct of being poorly run for years. Really, that's what it comes down to. I mean, the Yankees have been so poorly run for years, this is where they're at. They've got no depth. They've got too few stars. And I'm not saying that the Yankees need nine stars. I'm not that kind of Yankee fan, because that's really not how you build a team. Trust me. Maybe back in the day, not so much anymore. But the guys that you trot out last night speaks to your lack of depth, your lack of vision, your lack of development, your lack of instinct in terms of bringing in the right people. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It's a reflection of all that.
I mean, it was a pathetic lineup. Look, the Yankees are held to a high standard. We know with the injuries and all that stuff, even with all that. Like I said, if you wanted to go out there and have Jones in there for whatever reason, hey, this is the day, he's on the roster, we want to get him some at-bats against this lefty.
You get about eighth.
Yes!
I know.
It's not that hard! What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
How in any way, shape, or form can you justify not having Volpe batting higher in the order? What he's done so far in his, you know, year and a half in the big leagues, what he's been doing since the All-Star break, you're telling me that Jones is a better option to bat first than Volpe? How?
He's not. I would have even accepted justifying putting DJ LeMahieu first, like, well, hit a home run the other way.
Right.
Usually you start to hit the ball the other way, like he usually does when he's on. Maybe it's a foreshadow of good things to come, blah, blah, blah. Maybe gets fed a couple of fastballs with the big boys behind him. At least there's baseball things I can lean on, even though I do think DJ shot. Hey, this kid shouldn't be in the big leagues.
Yeah. Right.
Shouldn't be in the majors.
And he's batting first. And the same thing with J.D. Davis.
Yep.
Like, why not have Gleyber Torres bat fourth? Oh, by the way, if you want to go LeMahieu first, I'm fine with that. Have Volpe hit cleanup and have Gleyber behind him. Like, there's no way that Jones and J.D. Davis, two guys who won't be in the big leagues beyond next week, if that. I mean, after the trade deadline, if Jones is on this team and J.D. Davis, I'd be surprised. I'm actually surprised they're still on the team right now.
Like,
they should be cut now.
Yeah.
So those guys won't be in the big leagues beyond next week, and you're batting them first and fourth. I mean, my God, Dave is in Rockville Center. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, negative Yankee fan here. And, you know, Sal, I find myself agreeing with you recently. And, BT, I love you. You defend your position very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I got 3 points.
Good.
The thing is, though, is that you represent most of the Yankee fans and even management and ownership. You see the team through rose-colored glasses.
No, that's not true.
And
that's not true, Dave. Dave, I said they're not going to win the World Series. Listen, you can disagree with me. That's not even remotely accurate.
No, but you think that this team can be fixed and you want to be a buyer at the deadline, which is the problem. Release thy obsession with shiny objects.
Go ahead.
You must, please. This is the problem. We're going around and around and around. Hey, Sal, I'm selling at the deadline. Are you selling?
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my point, Dave. And I don't think it's being negative. I think it's being realistic. Yeah. I know it's hard to fathom, and this is the Yankees, and they did make the trade for Soto. They're broken. That I don't think they can be fixed.
Listen, you garbage doesn't smell better as time goes on. It's garbage. It needs to be broken down. You can keep Judge. You can keep Cole. I got other thoughts on that, which you don't want to hear. But as far as Soto, listen, release thy obsession. If the King's ransom is out there, I'm selling him with the confidence that if I want him back on the Yankees, I could get him back. The Yankees need to sell. I don't know if anybody wants Nestor. They should move Torres. Get what you can get. Get good stuff. But the problem is, and BT, you actually made the argument yourself like 2 minutes ago when you talked about Cashman and do you trust and the fact that they put this lineup together. Here's the thing. I don't trust them to make the right moves, but let's say they did make the right moves. Mm-hmm. They got a problem with management because if there's collaboration in that lineup, okay, that shows that they don't have baseball people anymore. If Cashman was a baseball man, he's not anymore. If Aaron Boone was a baseball man, I mean,
Aaron Boone is a three-generational baseball man. Show him a little respect. Now, the other stuff, I understand, because Sal said that too. Sal has brought up, you know, maybe selling and being, if you're enticed enough, to get rid of Juan Soto.
Well,
I would not do that. Everybody else I would sell, but nobody wants what they want to sell.
Nope. Well, what else?
That's what I'm saying. Nobody's valuable. Nobody wants DJ. I don't think really anybody wants Torres.
Let's say they were like, you know what, let's try to trade Verdugo. What are you getting for him?
You're not getting much, but that's why that I'm open to trading Spencer Jones. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm right. And if they didn't have two all-timers, and I believe Soto's going to stay, and we'll see. But if they didn't have those two guys, I wouldn't be saying that. I'd be saying completely sell off. I really would. But with Soto and Judge and Gerrit Cole now back healthy, you've got to give yourself a chance to win a championship, especially this year when there's no clear-cut favorite. Orioles, you know, they've got holes in the rotation. Dodgers just got a couple of pitchers back, but they're not perfect. Phillies are very good, but they've lost a couple of games lately. So the Braves, you know, Matt Olson's hitting .195, and they're having team meetings. Where is the team that's impenetrable? There is none. The Guardians? What? Who? The Astros? I know it's the Yankees' longtime nemesis, but and they've resuscitated their season, which you got to respect, but they're not infallible. Like, you got two of the best players this century. If you don't go for it, it's unforgivable. It really is, Sal.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. Come on, move! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan Fanatics Fest. NYC is taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through August 18th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-540. WFAN, that's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be a part of the first-ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. This is from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup. BT, I know you and I will be out there. We're excited about going there on that Friday, doing the show from there. I think Evan and Tiki are doing their show as well. So we look forward to that. Now, do you know what today is?
I do. Today is...
July 24th.
Today's a day that a lot of people didn't think we'd get to, quite frankly, if you think about it.
1 year ago today.
Yes.
You know what's weird? We did our first show together. Uh-huh. So it's been exactly a year. Happy anniversary.
Yep, you too,
and,
man.
And by the way, you know, the station does nothing for us,
nothing.
Of course. And, like, it's 1 year, whatever, no big deal, but they don't do anything. My mother, who was a big listener, was like, I want to buy you guys lunch. She sent over some Jersey Mike subs.
That is awesome.
She knows we talk about it, all right, for you and BT and the crew.
Thank you, Mama. Licata.
Yeah.
Big thank you.
Yeah, we were throwing it out there for the station.
Hopefully the station would do something.
Yeah, and
thankfully your mom got the hint.
Jeez. Exactly.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Spikel sent us something from Philly since he put us together.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I doubt that. But it's weird, dude, because I do remember the first show, and I just remember feeling like, I don't know about anxiety, but just like there was an unknown. Now, I worked with you before, and I've known you for a while, but like doing a show together and being put together is a different animal.
Yes.
I'm coming off the overnight. I'm used to doing shows on my own for years. You're used to doing shows with Tiki for years. And it was like, I don't know about a sparring, but there was definitely like a feeling out process.
Of
how this is going to work. And I do remember the first couple of weeks, like it just felt like intense and not knowing. And then we went right from that into the football season, which was intense. And I think finally we hit a little rhythm somewhere along the way where it feels good now. But
yeah, well, I think it felt good early. I mean, I think I knew right away. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to be on the air 20 years together. I'm not going to be so presumptuous. Maybe we'll just be 15. We'll settle with that. But I felt, and now do I think this show sounds a little different now than it did then? Yeah. Because one of the things, and listen, they wrote a lot of articles because it was an interesting pairing. You're loud, I'm loud.
Right.
You're combative, I'm combative.
We're going to be fighting all the time and all that.
That's what some people thought. Some people in the building thought that. You know, they weren't sure how, you know, I'm not sure that Gio thought that we would become as close as we've become in a very short time and as cohesive as I think we've become, hopefully. But I knew that if we could learn to trust each other, that was going to be the key.
Yeah.
Like, once you trusted me, and once I trusted you, and that's got to be earned. You can't give that. You've got to earn trust. I thought that there were no limits for the show. And I still think that. Because now, even when we're at those heightened moments when it sounds like we're really pissed at each other over some stupid sporting thing, we know that the other one's not, that one guy's not trying to make the other guy look bad.
Right.
And that's important. When you don't really know each other, You don't know the full motives of the other person. I know the only motives of this show is to do the best show in New York City.
Right.
That's the only motive.
Come in, have some fun, talk some sports, passionately, energetic, you know, entertain as well. And it's a lot easier to do that when the Mets are kicking the Yankees' ass. Happy anniversary! Oh, baby. I thought this was going to be an ugly summer for me. I was like, oh, God, I can't handle this. This guy, the Yankees, going nuts. And it's still early, but man, I'm
You're happy with?
I'm happy with where it's at right now.
Fair enough.
The Mets being relevant. Look, we could get two playoff teams. We still could get no playoff teams, but I didn't think the Mets would have any chance, especially after the way that they started. And I thought it was going to be a Yankee. The way that things started, remember, preseason, we were talking about Soto, and I'm talking about Soto, the Mets. Then once the season started, it was like, oh my God, Soto's having... He's the perfect Yankee. He's having the time of his life. The Yankees are on top of the world. The Mets were a laughingstock yet again.
Yep.
It couldn't be worse. And then it switched. And now the Mets are at least back to being relevant. So thank God, because I couldn't have put up with that. And you, all summer long, with the Yankees rolling right along.
But I don't gloat like you do. And you're not even really gloating today.
No.
But you are more...
I expected it.
Yeah, okay. Did you?
I expected it.
All right. I mean, you're more of a gloater than me. I don't really gloat too much. I mean, first of all, the Yankees haven't given me a ton to gloat about.
Yeah. Nor have the Jets.
Knicks for sure.
Yeah, well, and we're in that together.
We're on the same boat with the Knicks there.
We did fight about that too.
Yeah.
With just certain things.
The Sixers, remember that? The first couple of games?
But we enjoyed the Knicks run.
No, that was awesome.
And I really truly am looking forward to football season, especially the second go-round here, where, you know, we'll have the perfect parlay again, we'll have some fun, see who dresses up. But like, last year was an unknown. We went through it for the first time, and Rodgers goes down right away. That sucked. The Giants got blasted right away. That sucked. Yeah. So hopefully we have some sort of football season. But now with the two teams going into, with the baseball teams looking like they're going to be playoff teams here, and, you know, we got football coming up, I'm looking forward to September. But I want to enjoy the summer.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to September.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
thanks
happy anniversary.
Thanks again to your T-Mom for sending that over. Very cool.
Thank you, Mom. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Keith is in Branchford, New Jersey. What's up, Keith?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hope all is well. So, listen, I want to make three quick points. Season's over. We're done. Let's call a spade, unless you have eyesight issues. Last night's lineup really set the tone and really made me believe that there's no hope for the team. J.D. Davis, Jones, they're swinging out of their stance, looking up to the rafters, saying hi to their moms because they're so irrelevant they couldn't even get their parents free tickets last night. Two, if I hear anybody talk about Giancarlo Stanton coming back and that's the momentum they need, is out of their mind because he's like a toy soldier from Nutcracker. If he stubs his toe, he's going to break his femur. And I predict he's going to get hurt again after he comes back. And three, the inconsistency in the lineup throughout the entire time when Cole got hurt and Boone, whoever's making the lineup, continues to revamp and switch up the lineup. I mean, you might as well call me up. I'll take a fastball to the chest, sprint down to first base with heart palpitations, and steal second base. That's where we're coming to. And I feel like the season is like a father telling his kid at 10 years old that he's going to be a great baseball player when he can't even hold the ball correctly, when in reality, he's going to play the trumpet in the band. Okay?
You know, it's a lot there, Keith.
And thank you
for the call. Yeah, I thought you were the analogy guy. I will say he made me think of something there. The Yankees' issues were visible if you really paid attention between the lines. Remember opening day?
Mm-hmm.
We sat out there opening day after the Yankees came back.
The home opener, by the way.
Yes.
The home opener.
The home opener. Yep. Because the Yankees came back home.
6-1.
After lighting the road trip on fire and being the talk
of
baseball.
Houston, Arizona.
Soto was unbelievable. They come home and they were lifeless.
Yeah.
And it was like, huh. Okay, because it was the first thing that reminded you of the inconsistent offense in years past.
Yeah.
And then they go on another run, and you overlook it because Soto's hitting bombs, and, you know, Verdugo was contributing in Stanton, whatever it may be. And then, obviously, Judge had his moments the next month, but there were signs along the way. Remember they got, I forget what it was at the time, but I was talking to you like, oh, my God, they've been shut out 4 or 5 times already. Like, how does that happen with this lineup? So even when they were going well, there still were signs in there that we could have seen, and some of us did see, but maybe didn't believe too much in it, overlooked it because of everything else and thinking, oh, they'll click. But there were signs there. And BT, they were being carried by their starting pitching early on and their bullpen. So it's not like this is just out of nowhere and it's just Giancarlo Stanton. This has been an issue for them really throughout. And that's why the stats lie in the Yankees' particular case.
They don't have a first baseman that projects to be here long term, you know, maybe Rice, but you know, and I like the kid, but let's not go nuts.
Yeah.
They don't have a second baseman that projects to be here for a long time. They don't have a third baseman that projects to be here for a long time. I do think Austin Wells is going to be good, a very good hitter. And I think eventually he'll be a competent. He's already a competent catcher. So I'm going to actually change my opinion on the catching position. I think a month ago I would have said catcher as well with Trevino. But there's just there's a lot of Band-Aids, and there are, you know, two superheroes that are able to disguise a lot of deficiencies. And when those superheroes either stumble or there's such a precipitous drop in play from the other six or seven guys in the lineup, as there has been Verdugo, Volpe, up until the last week or so with Volpe, you're going to be exposed. And the Yankees are clearly exposed as a very top-heavy team that's going nowhere.
Yeah, and it's been a problem. If you looked at it closely, you could see it maybe early on at certain signs, but they, you know, they masked it by the way that Soto's producing, and then, of course, Judge going, you know, next level when he went on his tear. But it's obviously just a two-team team. A two-guy team right now.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the fan.
All right, BT, here we go. A little 3RQ. First one for you. Would you ever get custom license plates? And if so, what would they read? You have an answer. You had them?
Such an idiot. I actually thought about doing this when I was...
Why?
It's just so stupid and so corny. All right, so...
I love this.
I can't believe I have one for you. I didn't do it, so let me just end the suspense there.
Yeah.
I guess that's about 17.
All right.
All right, so now you ready?
Yeah.
The number 2.
Okay.
The letter T. Write this down, and then I want you to read it.
Yeah.
The letter U.
Mm-hmm.
The letter F. The number 2, the letter K. Read it.
Too tough to K?
Yep. Baseball. I almost got that when I was 17 years old. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's actually pretty.
That is awesome.
It's pretty, like, witty to come up with the, you know, the acronym for that. But we're not even really an acronym because there's numbers. But I didn't do it. I did not do it. I did have the Benzy box. I did have, like, the Nike, the stuff dangling from my rearview mirror, like the ball in the back keychain and the Nike just do it sign and all that other stuff. The Oakley sticker. But I did not get the Too Tough 2K vanity license plate. Why? What were you thinking about doing?
Sometimes you just stumble across some gold.
That's a good one. Wow. I remember that, too? That's a long time ago.
All right, bringing up some memories here. I like that. Yep. And now that you say it, like, I remember having a Tupac sticker on my car window. I wasn't thinking, when I was first going to college or whatever, or driving, I had that Tupac sticker. I wasn't thinking of anything other than we had to change over when I was on vacation last week. We finally changed over both the cars from New York to New Jersey.
That's a process.
And my wife was annoyed with the letters and numbers on her plate. And I was like, who cares?
Oh,
like,
I always look at it.
Yeah, so she was looking, she's like, I hate that. I'm like, this is like 3 U's on there. So I'm like, even I was like, yeah, I don't really care about it, but that is a crappy U and Delta.
That's funny. What do you think of the Jersey plate compared to the New York plate?
You know
the yellowish versus the blue and white? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm fine with
optically.
That. You know what I like about it? Although New York was different because it was white, and then I think it was yellow, so now they're both yellow. And by
New
the way,
York's yellow now?
I'm sitting there. Yeah,
really?
I think so. I'm sitting there changing. Like, it should be the simplest task in the world. I'm just trying to put the new license plate on. Like, mine were fine. And then I go to my wife's car on the front of it, and one of the damn screws wouldn't go in. And it's like a rubber plastic screw.
Yeah,
like,
crap? And it's a small one, too.
Yeah,
it's not very, it's not much length to it.
If it's not in the exact way, it ended up breaking off. And I had to put like a bolt on there. Come on now. I get aggravated putting a screw in with the license plate. But the thing that I love about Jersey is that the registration process seems so much easier. It's like one sticker on there.
Uh-huh.
They don't even give the inspection on a newer car. It's much easier.
Yeah.
Insurance is cheaper.
I've had no problems with that.
Jersey, the way of life. all right. Anyway, I'm so glad you had a good answer for that.
Too tough to K. Good God.
Yes! You got to get that on a shirt. All right, number 2, a household item that you can't live without.
I guess I won't count my computer because that's obviously right. transportable at this point with the, got a household item?
Yeah.
You're talking inanimate objects, obviously.
I'll give you mine if you want for an example. Right, exactly.
Okay, it's like, good. What's
yours? Like the sleep machine.
What do you mean the sleep machine?
I cannot sleep at night if I don't have a sound machine.
My wife is the same way, like that noise?
Yeah, I need it. The ambient white noise.
Like really?
If it's off, I can't.
It's too quiet.
As a matter of fact, we have the mattress is supposed to like vibrate.
Oh, look at you guys.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't work. Since the move, naturally, the movers probably broke it. And I haven't taken the time to figure it out, to get it fixed. It's out of warranty. That's a whole nother disaster. But, like, even that throws me off.
Yep.
Because I get so used to it, just that...
We had that, too. Does it go up and down, all that stuff?
Yeah, which we don't even use. But yeah. I missed the vibrate feature. Uh-huh. Got to get that working. But without the sound machine, I can't sleep.
What are you doing in a hotel?
Luckily there's an app now on the
phone. Oh, that's true.
Phone.
That's right. I have a few apps, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that keeps the noise. But that's one thing, like, I cannot live without.
That's a good one. Jen has the same. She needs the noise.
Yeah.
I'm like,
even
noise.
A fan or the AC.
I've become used to it as well. Yeah. And now, if I don't have it, I notice it's too quiet. It's like eerily quiet.
Right?
What do I need? Boy, as much as I came up with a quick one on the first question, the second one.
I know you need the arborvitaes, but we're gonna go.
Can't take those
simple
with me.
Simple household item.
You know what? I'm gonna say my blender.
There you go.
I forget the name of it. It's like, and not to drop a price tag. We've had it's like $1,000, like one of those.
Whoa.
No, like one of the ones that they would use at a yogurt shop.
Yeah.
And I honestly use it all the time, like kale and fruit. And now.
There you go. See, that's a good answer.
Kids start taking protein. You mix that into it. Oh, that's.
$1,000 blender? I didn't know they existed.
I forget the name of it. It's amazing. And you can put soup in there and it heats it up. I mean, it's
really?
It's amazing.
You gotta tell me what that is.
I'll tell you the name.
I just spend $1,000 on a blender, but I am intrigued. All right, last one for you.
Okay.
Sports event that you haven't been to but is atop the wish list.
This is a great one. The first thing that pops into my head would be the Ryder Cup.
Hmm.
I've been to, I think, 5 or 6 now U.S. Opens golf. I've not been to a Ryder Cup. I've been to the World Series, been to NBA Finals, been to...
Super Bowl you've been to?
Yeah, I've been to Super Bowl, been to Final Fours, been to championship games. I'd have to say that the Ryder Cup. Now, here's the rub, though. Do I want it here where it's all, even though Europeans would come over and represent well, but on our soil, which would kind of add to the pride, or do you want to be somewhere on foreign soil, which adds to the experience because it's something new? I don't know that, but I'd probably say Ryder Cup. How about you?
I mean, there's a couple. The number one thing would be Kentucky Derby. I want to go to the Kentucky Derby. It's been on my list, atop my list to go just experience that. Haven't done it, passed it off for years. At some point, I'd like to go to a Kentucky Derby. I mean, seeing the British Open would be incredible.
Well, you got the Open Championship.
Yeah,
they
get
offended when we say
Open. It's not British Open.
I'm just messing, but they do say the Open Championship. They're very particular.
You know,
with that.
Wimbledon. Even though I'm not the biggest, I'm not the biggest golf or tennis fan. There's something about those events. I've been to the U.S. Open, which is really cool.
We're over at Bethpage. You go to that one?
No.
Back in the day with Mike.
I'm talking about tennis.
Oh, gotcha.
Tennis at Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Okay.
That's cool. Wimbledon, British Open, and you know what? Honestly, even probably ahead of that, I would go Kentucky Derby 1, and then I want to go to a major college football game.
Oh, you've never been to one?
No, I mean, you're not counting Rutgers-Louisville, are you?
Is that the one that Carlin, when they
it
won the
is,
game on
yeah,
that Thursday
Pandemonium
night?
Pandemonium in Piscataway.
That was a good game. I remember watching that at a bar.
Great game. I had Louisville, though, -7.5. And at some point, I realized just cheer. It's another Rutgers first down.
Oh, you're actually there. That's
awesome.
Going to
party, yeah.
You know what? I mean, I'm not trying to name drop here, but I've actually been to, and I didn't go to any big college football venues until I was a little bit older because I grew up in Brooklyn. It was nothing, you go to West Point. I didn't go to Rutgers, New Jersey. It may as well have been Florida back then. I've been to the Big House when I worked in Detroit.
Right, that's one.
I've been to the Horseshoe at Ohio State, which is phenomenal.
That's probably my top. Oh, Notre Dame, have you been?
I have not been there. I've been to Calvin, Stanford.
Okay. So you've been to a bunch of big ones.
I've been to...
SEC?
Not SEC. That's the one you got to go to. Like, you got to go to, like, an LSU night game or a Bama or the Swamp. I have not made that yet.
I would probably want to do Notre Dame. You know, it's Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely.
All that. Ohio State. And then SEC.
I think Oregon would be an amazing experience.
That'd be cool, too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The topography,
the
setup there.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
What about WrestleMania? Have you been to a WrestleMania?
I have not. I've only been to, I think, one SummerSlam, and I want to say it was 2006 at the Continental Airlines Arena.
Oh, the old, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I want to go to WrestleMania 3.
Like, I know, I know. Can you transport us back and see Hogan slam the Giant?
WrestleMania 5.
That big, dirty, nasty Giant.
WrestleMania 5 or 6, sure.
A Warrior.
Now, though, like...
I know, but it's such a spectacle.
Yeah. Oh. Right.
I wonder what it's like to be in the presence of that. Like, it's got to be pretty awesome.
I would like to check the box on that. That's a good one, too.
Final Four? You ever been to a Final Four?
No. I've been to an Elite Eight. I think I saw Syracuse. Who the hell did they play? Maybe it was Ohio State, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Is that what's like Scooney Penn? You talking about that team?
No, this was, could have been
a rough year.
Could have been Fab Melo.
Rough year.
2012.
Well, Fat Melo with Syracuse.
Yeah, that's what I said. Syracuse.
I think you said Ohio State.
I did. I think I saw Syracuse play Ohio State. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Syracuse.
Gotcha. Got you. Fat
Melo. I want to say 2012.
Kind of right ish.
Could Evan Turner have been Ohio State at that time?
Yeah. I think he was the second overall pick. Lefty, Evan Turner. I mean, I think that's around there.
Anyway, yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah. Those are cool. I've never been to a Final Four, but. All right. Man, we got to start checking the boxes on some of these. There's a lot there.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.